What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024 edition of the Daily Energy Newsbeat Stand-Up. Here are today's top headlines. First up, China's state planner warns intensified EV price war on oversupply. Next up, Biden's damaging war against American energy production. Next up, weak diesel prices reflect global economic slowdown, though truckers do say yay. Interesting article here. Next up, Kurdish media allege OPEC request for resumption of oil exports to Turkey. Interesting. And finally, rooftop solar panels are flooding California's grid. That's a problem. A great opinion piece here that ended up actually in the Washington Post. So not often we bring an article in from the Washington Post. So Stu will have a lot of fun with that. He will then toss it over to me. I will quickly cover what's going on in the oil and gas markets today. And then Silverbow decides to fight back against Kivrige and launches their own customized website, which always means there's a war going on. So we will describe and cover all that in a bag of chips, guys. As always, I am Michael Tanner, joined by Stuart Turley. Go ahead and kick us off.
I'll tell you what, let's start with our buddies over there in China. State planner warns intensified EV price war on oversupply. I'll tell you what, you can't buy this kind of entertainment, man. Not only do we have plants that they're trying to drop into Mexico so they can flood the U.S., they're lined up and they're going to flood the European market. But let's start in Shanghai. I'm going to get a little tired here. The National Development and Reform Commission, the NDRC, expects more than 110 new energy vehicle models, including a total of 150 new car launches this year, intensifying. What is going on? Not only are they overpopulating the world and have they figured out what's in the water, now they're breeding like rats over there.
Yeah, it is a little crazy. You wonder what this means for Tesla as they've continued to take a hit in the overall market with the recalling of the Cybertruck. They were over $1 trillion market cap. They've now fallen below Exxon. This is going to put a lot of heat on them to continue to kind of, if they're going to compete in this race to the bottom on price, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. But China, China's going to do what China's going to do. If you didn't expect them to flood the market with their EVs, what did we think they were going to do?
And the amount of money, and what kills me is, and I'm just going to talk about this in the Biden's misnomer of support, they are destroying the U.S. automakers and destroying jobs by subsequently supporting this. I don't get it.
We could say a lot about it, but point is China is going to come in and they're going to continue to put pressure on the U.S. car makers. And it'll be interesting to see if they take the pivot again. It's not an American company, but we've always praised Toyota for their carving out the hybrid lane. You wonder if some of these car makers begin to switch to a little bit of that.
And boy, there's a lot of rumblings around there about the Hindenburg cars. I mean, the hydrogen cars that are going nuts now. So
Let's move to the next one.
Okay, let's go to our buddy Biden. Biden's damaging war against American energy production. This one is got a lot in this article, and it comes down to a couple points. This is from The Hill. There is the bottom couple paragraphs here, Michael. This isn't just incompetence, although there's plenty of that. It's an ideological effort to smother American energy along with the jobs and income it generates. There is a boom in oil production by waging war against it. President Biden could make it more resilient, could make us more reliant on OPEC, Venezuela, and Russia in the years ahead. This is coming up into a lot of different things. The LNG ban that you and I talked about is just absolutely part of this. And it is also in the geopolitical things. Think about the economy. If we could help our own environment by getting rid of coal, Yay! From a standpoint of going to natural gas, well, if we make more natural gas, we can export more, and it's already dirt cheap and better for the environment.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Again, the devil's advocate here is that everyone's making money right now at $80 oil. There's a lot of activity going on. And we're about to cover specifically the diesel prices. Finally, diesel prices have come down to a specific level, because I love how the title of the next article implies that low diesel prices are somehow bad because that means growth isn't happening. Well, it also means we can transport things a lot farther and for cheaper, and we see lowered inflation. So some of this is a little bit of topsy-turvy. Yes, we would all love President Trump to get elected, but he's going to massively lower oil price just by the effect of having his hand on the lever. And that's going to, you know, all this revenue that we're making right now may go away. So it's weird. The war on oil actually makes it more valuable.
Yes. Here's the problem with this, though. This is a downstream article. And the next article you bring up is weak diesel prices reflect global economic slowdown. And here's part of this. Reuters, John Kemp wrote in the recent column that institutional speculators were selling their diesel positions as prices began to decline. That decline, for its part, is a result of the global trade flow adjustments after the string of ship attacks by the Houthis and the Blowfish over in the Red Sea. Here's part of the problem is the deindustrialization in many parts of the world is attributing for this. In the March reading of the U.S. Purchasing Manager Index, now anything over 50 is a sign of growth, but it is disappointed as it stood at 51.9 while forecasts had been different. In Europe, it is totally different.
No, it's totally different. But, you know, weakness in diesel demand, you know, again, I love Bloomberg is a nice little section down here. Bloomberg has also suggested that the weakness in diesel demand and prices may be temporary occurrence, very similar to the tightness in the market last year, which prompted analysts to warn about potential shortages, which recently is 6 months. Luckily, that tightness didn't really happen, which is good news. Though we did see higher fuel prices get passed on to consumers, contributing to inflation, a la the fact that it costs more to transport. So I think there's this weird balance that's going on right now, and I think we're seeing it play out right now.
You bet. You mentioned something, Michael, and I just want to say that the Biden administration regulatory and energy policies, when they go ahead, they are going to pull more out of the strategic oil reserves. The salt domes and the strategic oil reserve infrastructure is failing because you cannot leave those. It's about to happen. So anyway, that goes back with that other article. Let's go to the Kurdish media OPEC request for resumption of oil exports to Turkey. There is a significant problem, Michael, going on right now around the world. The Iraqi media claims of a request from OPEC have not been independently confirmed. The news agency, a formal appeal to the Iraqi oil minister, OPEC, has allegedly requested that the Kurds' regional government be allowed to export 200,000 barrels of oil per day via the Kurdish export Kayan. Part of this is that the OPEC Plus has been overshipping over quota. Saudi Arabia has been really taking it in the teeth because they've been cutting their production. They need $100 oil. So this is a very great article with second order discussion threads in it because of the Saudis needing higher oil. Biden needs lower oil. And then they're stopping oil production in the U.S. And so this is just a holy smokes, Batman. There are forces at play around the world right now.
There are. And it goes to show that a lot of what goes on in geopolitics has to do with oil. And so you always need to be aware of these dynamics. You did a great job of breaking that down. I don't really have much to add here. This is your neck of the woods. I mean, how do you see this playing out? Maybe is the real question.
Well, there's about 16 different things on there. And I see that Saudi Arabia needs it above 90. I'm going to just say, hey, okay, Saudi Arabia is going to manage their numbers around. They are cutting back a lot of kingdom spending, trying to match their budgets in. Europe is really coming in. Russia, you and I laughed about Russia yesterday. Their growth is more than the U.S., more than all these other countries. So the old Putin may not be a nice guy, and I don't agree with everything he does, but he's got Russia first, and he's growing his economy. Anyway, let's go to rooftop solar panels that are flooding California's grid, and that's a problem. This one is, holy smokes, Batman, as electricity prices go negative, the Golden State is struggling to offload a glut of solar power. Michael, the old dreaded duck chart is in this article. And if, Ms. Producer, we could bring this chart up. In California, ample solar power floods the grid in the middle of the day, and you can see that the duck is alive and well. Duck soup is rolling here. Here's the problem. The grid hopper, known as Casio, later dubbed the effect as the duck curve, and they have had some serious problems. Homeowners are expecting money back when it's been sold this way. For all of the rooftop solar, the grid operator now cannot give money back. All the money for these homeowners have a 10-year payback in order to make it available for them. The battery storage is not working. This is an absolute disaster. Here's a quote from Michelle Davis. These are not insurmountable challenges, the head of global solar at the energy research consulting firm Wood McKinsey, but they are challenges that a lot of grid operators have never had to deal with, nor do they have a government agency that understand how to fix it.
Yeah, it's the unintended consequences when your grid cannot handle the supply that it's taking or it's not optimized to take that. I mean, you know, this is a second and third order effect that, you know, on the show we talk about is coming, but I don't think the public or the people who are setting the policies even know.
No, absolutely not. And you know, Michael, I absolutely love solar panels. I'm trying to figure it out. You know that I've got dual generators coming online for propane. I got hydro from my local hydro. I got solar panels. I love solar panels. I love me building this entire mini grid in my compound. I'm telling you what, though, it's a nightmare. But then again, I'm using this as a learning curve. I do love the sitting there going, I'm like a little kid looking at that meter going, I get free energy. And I look over at the bill, how much I paid for the solar versus how much my free hydro is.
Yeah, no. Very interesting. And of course, this is happening in California. That's obviously, it makes us laugh.
You got to love our buddies over there in California.
All right. Well, we'll go ahead and pop over to finance before we do that, guys. As always, we'll pay the bills here. Check us out, www.energynewsbeat.com. All the news and analysis you just heard is brought to you by that website, the best place for all your energy and oil and gas news. Stu and the team do a tremendous job making sure that website stays up to speed, everything you need to know to be at the tip of the spear when it comes to the oil and gas and energy business. Hit the description below for all the links to the timestamps, links to the articles, so you can hop around back and forth. Check us out on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can also check us out, dashboard.energynewsbeat.com. A lot of really cool stuff coming. You know, markets actually are positive a little bit today. We see S&P 500 up about 1.8 percentage point, NASDAQ up about 1.5 percentage points, 30-year yields down about 0.25 percentage point. 2-year yields down about quarter of a percentage point. 10-year yields actually up about a tenth of a percentage point. So that unfortunately means we have some interesting economic woes coming. Dollar index fairly flat. We did see Bitcoin now up 2.5 percentage points, sitting somewhere around $66,300. Crude oil fairly flat, $82 relative to where we opened from last night. We have seen a little bit of a rise from the open relative to where I think we opened about 82.11. So we're still hovering right around that open for crude oil. Brent oil, 87.10. Natural gas still sitting there about $1.78. So netbacks still aren't great. You know, mainly when you dive into those crude oil numbers, a lot of what we're looking at is that wider geopolitical fear of what's happening in the Middle East has continued to come down. You know, there is, you know, ironically, there is some analysts out there that are talking about some of the spare capacity that OPEC is flinging around. You know, though it does look like as we move into the summer, there will be some strength on the supply side. So I think there's a little bit of both. UBS strategist, I love him, Giovanni Stavano, he added that the high spare capacity could actually, along with the geopolitical risk premiums, could drive prices lower depending on how things happen. So it's a very, I love the little counterintuitive look. You know, where Federal Reserve came out, they had a little bit of a speech earlier today, commenting mainly on what's happening, some of this hotter inflation data. So I think things are shaping out. You know, not much happened really on the oil and gas market side. We did see Silverbow, who's in the middle of a proxy battle with Kimmeridge, come out and basically announce their own website, thefutureofsilverbow.com. You absolutely got to see it. Their main claim as they fight, as they're fighting this proxy season, is that Kimmeridge is obviously significantly overvaluing KTG, which is Laredo Petroleum. They're claiming massive dilution relative to Silverbow shareholders. They're convinced that Silverbow or they're convinced that the KTG assets, which is Laredo Petroleum, are of much lower quality. And that's what's hilarious. They were told, they say, if you go to this Future of Silverbow site, you can go look at this pretty advanced, I wouldn't call it an infographic, I would call it a slide deck, where they basically say, they really call out Kimmeridge. This is absolutely hilarious. They say they've attempted to engage with them multiple times. This was hilarious. They were told by Kimmeridge not to participate in the Laredo auction, which is interesting because that means, you know, circling the wagons there. You could go through and read it all. I'm not going to sit up here and show for Silverbow, because I do think the underlying question going on here is, has Silverbow management actually maximized the value? There is, right. Have they actually, over the course of the options presented to them, absolutely maximized shareholder value? And I don't know the answer to that. All I know is they hear the noise because they got a whole slide pointed to their quote unquote outperformance of other said companies within their XOP. If you go take a look on that Future for Silverbow. Now, the real question is, you know, this also assumes dividends reinvested when received. You don't know how they break that number down. They claim, you know, since 2011, they're at 500% outperformance, whereas relative, the XOP is only 372. So super interesting to see kind of how they break that down. Again, they don't want any part of this, and they're making very public they'll fight to go back. So question, how will this end? I don't know. I do think we need to get a deal spotlight recorded on this. So I'm going to be, you know, if anybody listening to this is fairly familiar with what's going on with the Silverbow KTG stuff, please, let's get a deal spotlight recorded, because this could be super interesting.
I want to give you a shout out. I have thoroughly enjoyed the deal spotlights you had with our guests that you've been interviewing. I thoroughly enjoy those, dude. Those, you're a rock star with our other guests. We've had some hellacious deals that you've covered. Well done.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciated it. It's fun. We do, you know, not to promo it too much, but we do have a new one coming out on Schlumberger Champion X with the wonderful Jeff Krimmel. Nice. Over there at Krimmel Strategy Group. He's
cool cat.
In, an energy and OFS expert. So it was great to bring him on. We'll probably have that out Wednesday or Thursday this week to get it. So it'll be, that's a really good one. Big nuggets. We go about 50, 55 minutes, just pretty much talking oil field service evaluations and then diving into the deal specifically. Teams working on getting kind of the edits. As always, there's edits. I'm not 100% great. So unlike this, where we just do it live.
I do want to give a shout out because Emily Easley, she is a pretty cool cat that I'm hoping to get interviewed from oil and gas and solar and wind and regulatory and everything else. Our deal evaluations, we've been looking at even wind and solar evaluations as well, too. So
here's my valuation. On a solar farm. Don't.
There is residuals. There is I've got a few folks that have been doing royalties.
Don't invest your own money in solar. If you want to stand up a solar firm and collect fees, it's a great way to make money.
Absolutely. And it's about deal evaluation. So I'm wanting to talk to experts. You bet. I'm learning.
No, we're down to collect those fees. I'll tell you that much. But all right, guys, we'll let you get out of here. Get back to work. Appreciate you for checking us out here on this gorgeous Tuesday. We'll see you around the corner. Until next time.